We identify the conflict, making sure that we have a very obvious problem part. And what we do to check it, we say like, what I always say to them is, okay, great, so how is that a problem? And how's that a problem? Or how is that a conflict? To really make sure that you're working with the deepest level problem and the deepest level of conflict. How's that a problem? How's that a conflict? And then what we do is we have the person set out their arms. So they have their arms like this. And you'll do this sitting down. And make sure that when the arms come out, that the arms are not tucked in at all. The arm position is very important. So the arms aren't tucked inside or touching any part of the body. They're out there like that. So they're free to move. Okay? And I'll be doing a demo in a short while, so you'll see it. And what we say is, okay, great. So you say to them, I want to talk to the part inside of you that has the problem part that's in conflict. The problem part. And so I'd like to, on which hand, you say to them, on which hand would you like that part to come out and stand? Now, why do we say, come out and stand on this hand? Say again. True. True. And something else. We want to personify the part. So if you say it come out and stand on this, stand in the hand, it presupposes that it has legs. Right? So we'd like to come out and stand on this hand. Now, you know, I've seen Tony Robbins do this one, and I don't know why he does actually, because this is much more powerful, and I'm surprised he doesn't. But like, you know, a black obelisk and a pink fluffy feather. You know, for me, it doesn't work quite as effectively as, you know, on this hand, a part of me that reminds me of my dad. A part of me on this hand, it reminds me of mum, and they like integrate. You'll get some serious integration going if you do that, rather than an obelisk and a pink fluffy feather, or whatever the person, because they come up with a symbol that represents it. And so it's much better if you personify it, okay? Much more powerful. So, we get them to come out and stand on the hand. We say, so we have the choice. The person chooses which hand, left or right. They say, oh, left. He says, okay, good. And what I do is I say, okay, I always extra part, I say, so which part would you like it to stand on? Would you like it to stand on the back of the hand, the front of the hand, or in the middle of the hand? Yeah? Now, there's a reason why I do that. And they say, they probably say, oh, if let's say they say the middle. What I then do is say, so what, right here in the middle, just here? And they say, yes. Why is that important? I'm anchoring it. Very good. So you guys are good at this, right? So I'm anchoring the position in the hand. Good. And then you say, okay, great. So that's one set up. And again, the arms just stay out there the whole time. You then say, go, great. Can you go inside and find the part that's most in conflict with this part inside of you? Its opposite number, the flip side. And ask it to come out and stand on this hand. So it does, comes out and stand on this hand. Again, you do the same thing. Which part? Anchor. Which part of the hand? Anchor it. Boom. Both hands are out now. And I said, personify each part. Each part. I did this last time. Exactly the same moment last time. And I couldn't get out of it. Keep saying fart. Thank you. Okay. So personify each part. So as it comes out, like I said, personify it. But the way you do that is say, does that look like anybody you know? Does it remind you of somebody? Who do you recognize? Does it sound like someone? Do you feel it's somebody you feel familiar with? And normally they'll come up and they say yes. And they'll say yeah, and they say, okay, great, well, who's that? And have them verbalize who it is. If they say no, you say, okay, great, could it? Because you want them to personify it. So keep going until you personify the part on both hands. Now you can either do that as one comes out, great, do that one, personify it. Next one comes out, personify it, or you can go da-da, da-da, personify, personify. Doesn't matter. Personally, I do it while it's on this hand, and then I personify this hand at the same time. So I do that, what hand comes out, which part, da-da-da, does it remind you of anybody? Yes, da-da-da. Does that remind you of anybody? Da-da-da, yes. Good. And I say, it's significantly more powerful to personify it, and ideally, you know, family members, people they know. And it's important to recognize that the parts are not those people. So the part that comes in, if it's like, let's say it's your mother and your father, it's not your mum and your father, it's the part inside of you that's like your mother or like your father. Okay? And it's important that you use that language when you're doing it. And then what we do is we separate the problem part's intention from its behavior. So we do that by chunking up. So imagine there you've got the boundary. And what we're doing is we're chunking up so we go outside the boundary. Okay? So we go outside the boundary, outside the problem. Because what happens is as soon as you go outside the problem, as soon as you go up to this level, the boundary starts to dissolve, okay, in the nervous system, and the hands begin to come together. So we chunk up on the highest tension of behavior by saying things like, okay, so for what purpose? What's the purpose of the behavior here? The behavior over here, anchoring again. So the behavior over here, what's the purpose of this behavior here? What's its highest intention? And they tell you a word. You say, okay, great, good. And what's the highest intention of? And then you say that word. And you keep going. So what's the highest intention of that word? And what's the highest intention? Well, what does that do for you? Da, 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 da. Okay? So for what purpose? What's the highest intention? What does that do for you? And you keep going until the boundary on the part blows. Now, you must make sure that the person, this is the reframing part, this bit here, come to you in a second. You must make sure when you do it that the person, the client, stays associated. So, for example, they say, you say to them, okay, great, so what does that do for you? And they say, world peace. That's not associated. That's outside themselves, yes? You say, great. So what does world peace do for you, you say? It gets it back to an emotion inside themselves, yeah? Okay, good. Or if they say, helping others. They go back to the answer, helping others. You say, great. So what does helping others do for you? Gets them back associated again, okay? Otherwise, it could go off on a completely weird tangent. Won't work. So good. So let's say they've got the problem part over here. What's happened is we got to the highest intention of that part. Then what happens is you then start working with the other parts. As soon as you got to the highest intention, and you notice the hands starting to come together, or you just sense that it's a good highest intention as they come up with some really great, really powerful stuff, yeah, that you sense is the right thing, the right highest intention really of this behavior, so it's really chunked up there. Then you start working with the other part, and you say, okay, great. So as you look at that part now, what's the highest intention of this part? What's this behavior trying to get? And again, you start chunking up in the same way. And ideally, what you're looking to get is that both parts have the same highest intention. Because what then the parts then do is go like, ah, we're the same. So therefore, why should we be separate? And the part starts to dissolve and they start to become one again. Okay? Now, obviously, it takes a lot less time to chunk this part up, the part that's not really a problem part. It chunks up in less time. So you do most of the work with the problem part, okay? And then as the hands start to come together, and what happens is your experience of happening is they, because you'll be a client doing this as well, your hands will start to come together like this, and you're not doing it, okay? You're not doing it, and there's nothing you can do about it. The hands just start to come together all by themselves. That's your experience. And you're like, you're looking at it, you're going like, shit, what's happening? And it's just the integration process. It's just your body's way of integrating the parts because you've set it up in the nervous system. This and this equals two separate parts. The unconscious mind goes, great, we're ready now. And it accepts the presupposition that these parts are being held in the hand. So it goes, right, let's bring them together again. And the unconscious mind does it. In the same way it makes your heart beat, in the same way that you breathe without thinking about it, these parts will integrate in exactly the same way. Your unconscious mind is amazing. As you'll experience tomorrow in hypnosis, your unconscious mind does many, many things without you realizing it. This would be one of them, which is a big convincer that shit, the unconscious mind definitely exists because you'll be experiencing it. And it's very, very powerful. Very powerful. As the parts come together, You can use certain language patterns. You can actually say, right, so as you, have you, and you've got to point it out. As the hands start to move together, point it out to the client. Say to him, like, you know, say, look, have you noticed how your hands are starting to come together? And they're like, yeah. So you're not doing that, are you? And they go like, no. You're like, you go, you know what that means, don't you? And they go like, yeah. And so yeah, as the hands start to come together, you know, you realize that, in fact, they're starting to integrate now. And when they touch, they'll be fully integrated, and you'll know in that moment that you're whole again. The hands start to come together, and they're coming more together, they're coming more together. And ultimately, when they start to come together, as they begin to come together and touch, what I always do is oftentimes say, great, have you noticed how they're changing now? Or I might say, as the hands start to come together, I might say, what does this part have to say to this part over here? As they start to come together now, what do they have to say to each other? What could this one learn from this one? And what could this one learn from this one? The learning of which will allow them to integrate even more easily and even more quickly now. Okay? And as the person goes inside and says a few things, great, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Whatever it is the right answer. You say, that's right. And as they come together, then you might want to suggest a super part. You know, so as they come together now, what do they look like now? What's happening? Are they hugging? That's right. And what are they transforming? What are they changing to now? And normally the person is very associate at this point, very emotional. And as they come together, then you then say, okay, good. And the person's got really, like, they've had a strong emotional experience. And I normally say, okay, well, why don't you go ahead now and really take that inside now to a place you call home or something like that. Good, we're done. And then you'll just simply test and future pace. So again, can you think of an event in the past? Da 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 da, so forth and so forth. That is the parts integration process. What might happen, because you're always going to ask the question, is it totally okay with your unconscious mind for these parts to integrate today and for you to feel whole? Something of that nature. Again, make sure you ask that question. And they may just say no. And you've then got to reframe them. So the example given, for example, and you can role play this with me, because I'm about to give you one of the quantum linguistic patterns that you'll learn at Master Prague. Indeed. So let's say, for example, the person says, like, you know, they're saying, like, this intention here is the behavior is giving them sadness, and that's the problem. You say, okay, great. So is it totally okay for you to integrate and let all the sadness go? And they say, no. And you say, okay, good. Because you always say good, whatever they say. Yeah, it's always because that's a reframe by itself. You say, okay, great, excellent. So, for what purpose? So, no, for what purpose? And they say, well, to protection. You say, okay, great. So, protection for what purpose? They say, safety. I say, good. So, what does safety do for you? Well, you know, for what purpose? And they go, like, well, happiness. You go, thank you. Okay, great. So now you've got sadness and happiness are definitely in conflict with each other, aren't they? So the quantum linguistic pattern, the structure of the quantum linguistic pattern I would use at this point is this. And don't write it down, okay? Just see if you can work, see what it does in your nervous system. So if I say, someone says to me, you've got sadness and happiness in conflict, I would say, okay, good. Just stop for a moment and just consider this. Wouldn't you agree with me that anything less than total sadness, anything less than total sadness isn't happiness? Isn't it? Anything less than total sadness isn't happiness. Isn't it? And the person goes, the way you structure the language pattern is, because what you're doing is, they've got this whole part inside themselves, so this is part of almost blowing it already. What's happening is, when you ask the question, they're in the part, they're inside the part, which is why they can't get out of it. The question makes them go like this, outside the part, in all directions, like that, to try and answer it, because they have to go outside the problem to try and get the answer. Then what happens is you take them outside, which goes across the threshold of the boundary, And then what you say, and then when they come out, they go inside to try and work out, and they come outside. The moment they come outside, because you can see them going outside, going inside, right? As soon as they come outside, you go, isn't it? And they go, zoom, back inside the part again. Which means they go in across the threshold. You do it, you fire it off about 3 or 4 times, and what happens is they go like, yeah, you're right. Even though what you just said was complete bollocks. Structurally in English, it doesn't make sense, but as far as the boundary is concerned, it will actually break the boundary down. That's a linguistic, one of the linguistic patterns. Good. So then they say, okay, great. So as they sort of come out, and they say, yeah, and you say, good. So you say, wouldn't you be a lot happier if you just let all the sadness go? I go like, well, yeah. Right, guys, get on with it then. Yep. And that's the reframing of the highest intention in case you get them not congruently telling you they're ready for it.